We don't believe that in the physical realm, there's something called azab, punishment. We don't have punishment in this physical realm of creation. It doesn't exist. Divine punishment only pertains to the hereafter. Punishment doesn't exist in this realm. Why? We believe that with a Tawhidi worldview, any given action has an infinite sequence and chain of cause and effects preceding it. Whatever happens in this realm of action is based on cause and effect. If a mother, God forbid, were to drink and smoke, and this leads to a child being born with a congenital anomaly, here, is that a punishment for the child? That's Hindu belief. We don't believe that. We say it's based on cause and effect. Is it fair? No. But we attribute the unfairness to the mother or the father who drank or smoked. But it's all based on cause and effect. The child isn't being punished as a result of the mother's actions. So azab in this realm has no meaning. It's all cause and effect. It's how the world, how the cosmos rotates. Now, with every burden, naturally, we don't pray for burdens. Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunub allati tunzil al-bala. O Allah, cover those consequences, those dhunub. O Allah, cover those consequences which send down burdens. But those burdens are based on cause and effect. You want Allah to cover the consequences of those. That's okay. So we don't pray for burdens. But once burdens come our way, this is a kind and manner of communication between you and Allah. Allah is gracing you with something because through this burden, you can now get closer to Allah. That's why with the Urafa, according to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the repentance of the Urafa, or the precise word is the repentance of the Asfiya, the refined ones, is when they express a sigh of relief when the burdens leave. When they say, phew, once the burden goes, they repent for this expression of relief. Why? Because when a burden comes one's way, we don't pray for it, but when it comes one's way, Allah is gracing a person, a nation, with a potential to get closer to Allah. Inna hadaynahu sabil, imma shakiran wa imma kafura. With this burden though, Allah has guided one the way. What is the way? Moment to moment, you're on the way, on the sabil. Whatever you encounter around you, it's a blessing of Allah. Even if it's a burden, it's a blessing from Allah. But you may be grateful, and through tawheed, not through humanity, through tawheed, you get closer to Allah. What a greater privilege than that. So we shouldn't see anything as a punishment. Because whatever burden arises, we have the potential to get closer to Allah. When the burden goes, if you say, phew, it's gone, the Asfiya would repent for such an action they've taken. So here, this cosmos is based on cause and effect. Yes, our duty given to us by the Sharia is to act responsibly. We can't do irrational things. We have to listen to the experts. In relation to the virus, the medical experts, yes. But if the burden was to come our way, we shouldn't panic, we shouldn't be scared. But as long as you're alive in this world, whatever happens around you, it's a blessing from Allah, and you have a potential to make the most out of it. But sometimes a burden may come, and you make the worst out of it, and you become more and more distanced from Allah, and that's evil. When you say it's all based on cause and effect, well, also in the hereafter, everything is based on cause and effect. So why do you call it punishment in the hereafter? The answer is that here, we don't call it a punishment. It's a burden. It's not a punishment because with every burden you encounter, you reach a two-way junction. You may either be grateful or you may be ungrateful. It's still in your hands. And until you die, this two-way junction always is. But in the hereafter, It's a one-way show. And therefore, that will be punishment for you if you hadn't acted properly in this world. However, there is something that we can extrapolate from the texts. The logic of many ahadith, and even on it being on a par with the logic of the Quran, is that when a believer or a nation of believers or people in general, when they belittle another person or another nation in any particular manner, be it a financial belittlement or a spiritual belittlement, they will not die unless they have experienced the same belittlement. Now, this tradition, hadith, that we see in many resources and many books of ahadith, although I don't want to say this is definitively the case, but when you look at countries like Palestine, when you look at countries like Kashmir, when you look at 40 years of sanctions against Iran, this is a form of belittlement. You're imposing severe restrictions on a nation. You're imposing and enacting severe sanctions on a nation. Sooner or later, you're going to face the consequences of that. This was Reflect, diving a little deeper.